T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kyle Singer, I don't know who that is. Wasn't he a basketball player?
He was a former Dukie, I believe.
Really? That sounds right? like a Duke player.
Is that right?
That sounds like somebody Kyle who played for Duke, right?
Kyle Singer?
Of the Raleigh-Durham Singers. Where's your glasses at today? Can you see today?
I can't see for squat.
I mean, you've been walking around like Mr. Magoo all morning long. What the hell? How did you drive here today?
I can see fine like distances. It's like up close stuff, so I'll be like sitting far away from everything. I'm like, oh, it's good.
How did you drive in, though? I mean, like, how do you forget your glasses?
No, I can drive. I can drive.
You can drive.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't need him to drive.
So there's basically just a reading glass?
I need him to see.
Okay. This is like the first time I saw my dad shave his mustache.
you freaked out, right?
I did a little bit.
I remember when my wife told me for the first time when she was 18. My wife, for the first time when she was 18, her father, which is now my father-in-law, see how that works? He shaved his mustache, and she saw him for the first time after 18 years and started crying. Was like, oh, my God, what the hell happened to you? And where's my father? You shaved your mustache off and looked totally different. So
she was an adult at that point.
Yeah, right.
I got like 7 minutes away from the house, and it was that too far phase. Like, do I turn around and go get them or – do I just keep going?
You just kept going. Because to me, like, glasses are like pants. Like that's something that you just don't normally forget when you walk out the door.
We dress in the dark. Sometimes we don't have pants.
Glasses are certainly not like pants. They're more like a belt.
Not if you need them to see, though, Ryan. I mean, like, it's kind of a necessity, I would think.
Clearly, he can see.
I can see.
Allegedly.
Can't see my phone, but, I can't see the,
It's going to be good at the combine later today when he's trying to do the event and can't see the finish line.
We don't have to do an eye chart at the combine, do we?
Yeah.
I don't think that's part of it. They're not sending us into space.
I can see, like, far away stuff just fine. It's just the up close stuff.
By
the way, Kyle Singer, a goalkeeper for the New England Revolution.
No, that's not who I was thinking of.
That's the guy that's
not who I was thinking of.
There's a Kyle Snyder who used to pitch for the Royals. My cousin is Kyle Fesco.
I swear
Fesco.
There was a Kyle Singer that played for Duke. Maybe
that was Brady Singer. Maybe you're getting them confused. Maybe it could have been Brady Singer. Maybe there was another Singer.
Kyle Singler.
There it is. Now you got it. Now you're talking.
I probably wrote Brady on my sheet. I just can't see it.
You can't see. It's unbelievable. So bear with Josh today. He can't see worth of anything today.
That's right.
There you go.
Someone texted in already. Josh without glasses is like Ryan without a backwards hat. It's very
true. Yeah, absolutely.
It does throw you off. It ages me like a decade.
When you see Ryan without a hat, yeah, it does. It really does. You look old. I remember there was somebody I used to work with that always wore a hat, and one time somebody saw him out.
It wasn't Ryan, it was somebody else,
but one time somebody saw this person out, and he didn't have his hat on, and they're like, oh my God, so-and-so's bald. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I see this person at work every day, but this person only saw him with a hat on all the time. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that person was bald. And I'm like, yeah, and it became like a running joke forever and a day. So yeah, when you take your hat off, I look at you, I'm like, who's Uncle Fester sitting out there in the lobby? And oh, that's Ryan out there. There you go.
Jeez, got harsh. So we did have the 6'10 combine today.
Is that a bad reference these days that nobody knows who that is?
Probably
right?
Adam's Family's making a comeback, right? Don't they have like an animated version of it out?
The Addams Family.
Could be a show of old references. Ben Maller at 7:15 today.
Yeah.
Here on 610 Sports Radio. And of course, hear him overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. Joins us for his weekly visit. We taped before the show behind the curton, and he had a really old television.
Why are you going to tell the real old?
Ben goes to bed.
We're an open book here.
Ben goes to sleep. He's not staying up to hang out and talk to us. We have the 6'10 Combine today. We'll be participating in the 40-yard dash, the long jump, all those things we've trained for a year now,
that's
at least
right.
This show.
I was watching videos of the vertical jump so I can get my form right.
Yeah.
So that way I could show off my 8-inch vertical.
Did you guys take the Wunderlic yesterday? Or was that impossible? I that thing is so stupid. Like, I get
so
mad.
There's so much math.
There's so much math, and I feel so
defeated. I feel so defeated, and it's 12 minutes, and I spent like 8 of it complaining about it. You know, like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. Well, there's 50 questions. Did you guys get through them all?
No.
Oh, I got through them all.
No, you didn't.
100%
Did you start guessing?
Yeah.
Okay, you just started clicking.
There was one question that was like, you know, Matt is 3 times as old as Paul, and Paul was, you know, twice as old as Mary when they met, and how old is Rich?
Who gives a rat's ass?
I just said old. Yeah. It just moved on.
I was telling myself that about halfway through, like, just if you don't know it right away or you can't figure it out in short order, just move on, guess, and go.
Is that ultimately the goal for this? Is that what you're supposed to do? Because I spent way too much time trying. Like, there were 4 words. And put one word in front of these 4 words, it all make them different words and things like that.
The answer was saw, by the way.
Not for mine. I mean, we all had different tests. I think those things. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, they're different variations of questions, but
yes. Yeah, they're all different. Every test is completely different.
And I spent a lot of time on that one because it's like.
That's not fair at all.
And it said, because it said a four letter word in front of whatever.
And I tried every curse word in the book, and none of them worked.
I had a great 3-letter word that worked with all of them. I'm like, what the?
You should have done like the silent K then in front of all of that.
I suppose.
Or if it was an F, you should have done PH and done with that.
That would have been good with the PH. Yeah. Yeah. So I went for volume over.
But I don't think volume matters, though. Does it?
I will let you know I accidentally saw my score lines. Accidentally. Yeah. It just popped up right there at the end because I finished all of them. So the score popped up, so I know what I got already.
Yeah. Was it high or not?
It's better than I did last year.
Okay, well, that's nice.
I'm not allowed to divulge that.
All right.
I feel I've already said too much.
So you got like a 10.
But there's no way Specs listening.
I felt like a football player
last year or something.
And just yelling at the screen like, this has nothing to do with football.
Right.
Like, I'd have done any better at like football questions. They put a bunch of plays out there and I had to diagnose them. It would have been terrible too, but I'm like, this has nothing to do with football. And it doesn't. It's stupid.
Again, this is the second year we've been doing this combine here at 610. And it's you know, doing
second
this
annual.
Wunderlic test. And he's trying to keep up with the Raytona 500. You know, that's the boss trying to be like, I got a second annual thing too. So I think in my mind, I look at that test yesterday and I felt like a complete moron leaving that test. I think we all did, right? We all felt like idiots, like we were stupid after we took that test. And you look at that test.
Pick C guy over there felt great.
Yeah, right. Just C for everything, right? But there were too many not multiple choices. I didn't get many multiple choices at all on mine. Mine were a lot of fill in the blanks and that's no good. So I look at that test and I'm taking that test and I'm still trying to figure out now after 2 years of doing this, how this helps and what this does for football players. Because to me, it's a colossal waste of time for football players because
processing information.
It's processing information and how fast you can do it. And I understand that part of it, but it's not football enough related.
It's not. It really isn't. Like if you want to put somebody through that kind of test, who's going to be like a mathematician or, you know, NASA or something like that, I understand all that. But for football players to sit there and try to figure out how much taller Bobby is than Johnny, I mean, to me.
I love the ones that are like, all right, here, fill in the missing number. It's like 116.81 blank 4,032.
Right. Yeah, like what? Why is that important for
a
football player?
I had one with letters that I could have sat there all day.
Yeah, tried to figure this damn thing out, right?
Here are the pattern of letters. I'm like, I don't see it. So, I don't have it.
So
I don't
I guess
I won't be able to throw a slant. I don't know.
When like guys like Adam Schefter and all these people are talking about, oh, so and so only scored a 3 on the Wunder. Like, well, so that's I'd take a 3 right now.
This 40?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like the Wunderlic to me is totally irrelevant. Most of the stuff that they do at the scouting combine is from 1982 anyway. I mean, that's why Binkley loves it so much. He's like laser focused. This is from when I was a kid, man. Run the 40-yard dash, hit a popsicle stick and jump. You know. So like to me, the combine.
Good insertion
and
of the snort.
Thank you. The combine and most of the stuff that we're seeing that's going to start today. I think a lot of the workouts start today or last night or whatever. I mean, a lot of it is so so irrelevant. And to me, the only thing about the combine that matters is the interviews that you have with these players. When you sit down and meet face to face with these guys and you actually do like a job interview, you can gain a lot from a person during that time frame. And when they speak to the media too, and when they have conversations with the media and how they handle themselves and what they say and how they act, and you know,
even
all that
with
kind
questions
of stuff.
Like, would you kill someone with a knife or a gun?
Well, I don't think those are appropriate questions, Ryan. I think the NFL needs to do a better job of asking appropriate
questions.
Or like
questions. A couple of years ago with when they asked Eli Apple if he could cook?
Well, yeah. I mean, like just appropriate questions.
I actually think you do glean some things out of those types of questions.
About is your mama, you know, a slut and things
okay,
like
yeah,
that.
Okay, yeah, that was like, a little
like,
bit much.
Like those questions were
a lot much.
Like,
I feel like
those
that
are,
was just like for personal references.
Yeah, basically, yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's
like,
single?
Yeah.
Seeing anybody?
What's your number? So to me, like some of those questions are inappropriate. They do need to do a better job of questioning. But I think the combine, in my opinion, is starting to become like bowl games for a lot of these guys where they're just not participating and they're not taking place in a lot of the events at the combine. We saw, who was it yesterday? Somebody's son. Dang it. It was, I think, Randy Moss's son, maybe, who's not going to participate in the combine drills now. And some of the quarterbacks aren't participating in the combine drills. And I think we're going to see more of a growing trend towards that because I honest to God, don't think these guys that are the big name players like the Joe Burrow and Tua's and guys like that, I don't think you have anything to gain. You just got everything to lose if you go out there at the combine and you have a bad day throwing to air. And ultimately, your work is on paper. And I think guys are starting to realize that and starting to understand that. They're like, yeah, why am I going to go throw at this combine in Indianapolis when I just put together a great season and won the Heisman Trophy? So I think for a lot of these big name prospects, we're going to see far less players participate in the combine. They'll go for the interviews. They'll go for the media stuff. But after that, they're gonna skate, man. They're gonna bounce Indy after having a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's, and they're gonna go back home because I don't think there's anything for them to gain. And I think that's where the combine is headed right now. I think the combine is more geared for guys like, I don't know, offensive linemen maybe, but you know, smaller prospects that weren't on the national stage, that people didn't see a lot, that do have something to prove. Guys that have already proven themselves and are big name college football players, to me, have no reason to go to that combine and participate because I don't think you gain anything out of that.
Meanwhile, the correlation is the big name players who don't like the new labor agreement, while the 90% of the regular folk may like the new collective bargaining agreement because mm-hmm. they'd like to work. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's the haves and the have-nots.
Absolutely.
A little bit because
yeah.
it's very valuable for, as you mentioned, certain positions, certain guys that weren't on the maybe national radar.
Right.
And the interview process is important for all of them. I mean, if you're good at it, I should say.
You're a bad interview can cost you something.
If you're bad,
too.
It's not good for you to do too many of them. But I think for the most part, you can get people to know who you are.
Right.
And look them in the eye, and you can get a team to fall for you.
Yeah.
Those types of things I think are very, very beneficial.
I think the Gruden quarterback camp is more important for quarterbacks than the combine.
Now, the NFL is making a bigger deal of having, like, there's primetime workouts tonight.
Yes.
So they're trying to make this an event, too. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. I don't know if there's a way they can push some of these top guys to maybe start doing this
mm-hmm.
Because they consider it a television product now.
But I think we're going to watch anyway, though. I think football fans are going to watch the combine because it is the future of the NFL, and you're going to have it on. Like tonight, it'll be background noise for me. I'll have it on. It'll be on in the background. I'll look
and then
over
I'll go,
once
this
in a while.
Is really boring and stupid, well, like
yeah,
I do every single year.
Every year. But it depends also, too, how they present it. I mean, they've taken the NFL draft, which is one pick every 15 minutes, for God's sakes, and have turned it into a great television product. I mean, the NFL games are a great television product. So I'm expecting tonight's coverage of this combine to be a great television product because that's what the NFL does, Josh. Everything they put on television is really entertaining. I mean, it's really a good product. They put a lot of time and effort and money into making sure that their product is good. They put a lot of resources and whatnot into making sure that their events are top notch. And so I think tonight, while you think, yeah, it's going to be boring watching these guys run, but there's going to be so much other stuff around that, and it's going to be packaged into a thing where you may see a guy run a 40-yard dash once every 20 minutes and a lot of times it's going to be talking and rumors and innuendos and what may happen with Tom Brady and the salary cap stuff and the collective bargaining agreement stuff.
There's no shortage of topics.
Going to be a big Patrick Mahomes' contract. Like I think it's ultimately going to be a huge NFL offseason production, and I think it's going to be an outstanding production by NFL Network.
So the 6'10 combine is underway. We all took the Wonderlic yesterday. Today we're running the 40 and the long jump and all those things. Results are going to be released next week, 11:10 each day with Cody and Gold. We'll get our results of the latest 6'10 combine. We chat with Royals outfielder Hunter Dozier. He drops by next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Witkowski, I'm Josh Klingler. We chat with Royals outfielder Hunter Dozier from Surprise, Arizona. And what exactly is a Mike Matheny camp like?
It's been really good. Really well organized. I think his message to us has been, I'm really good. He really believes in us. Talking a lot about winning and winning now. So the message has been good, but it's been we've been putting a lot of work in the spring training, probably the most work I've ever done in a spring training before, so it's been really good.
You know, the winning now thing mentality is something we were talking about the other day on the show, and I was kind of getting frustrated with some folks who are like, well, I just don't know how good the Royals are going to be. I'm like, you've got to have expectations on these guys this year. I thought, to be honest with you, Hunter, last year from a record standpoint, you guys underachieved. There's a lot of talent on this organization. Is that the way you guys kind of believe inside this locker room, that last year from a win standpoint was kind of underachieving, and you guys are ready to go and pretty much shock everybody who's not believing in you right now?
Yeah, no, we were very disappointed on how last year went. We have a lot of talent in this locker room, and we really believe in this group. Getting Sally back is huge. Hopefully Mondesi will be here ready to go by opening day. But, we have a ton of talent. We have a lot of, our pitching's looking really good right now. We're excited, and we're ready to surprise a lot of people.
You know, that's the million-dollar question I'm going to ask you now is, how do you go from where you are right now with the belief that, yeah, we're good and we can go out there and win, to doing that out there on the field? And I know Matheny's been different in the way that he's kind of pushed you guys and whatnot, but how do you translate that from the message being sent in spring to actually accomplishing that in April through September this year?
Yeah, I mean, we can say as much as we want to say, but at the end of the day, we got to go out and prove it. Matheny's been good about telling us that, like, we have a lot of talent, but, talent alone doesn't win you ball games. So we have to go out and we have to want it. We have to work hard. We have to bust our butts every day. And, we got to learn how to win and win as a group. And I think that's what we're trying to do in spring training right now. So when season starts, we have that winning culture and we can just keep it going.
What's different for you this year, aside from maybe preparing a little more for the outfield, but having kind of a breakout year like you did at the plate? How is your transition now to this season different or the same?
It's the same. I'm going into spring training like I go into every spring training, trying to prove to everyone that I belong on this team, working as hard as I can every day. Like you said, I'm doing a lot more outfield this year, so I'm enjoying that, working with Rusty and stuff. But I'm taking the spring training like I've taken every other spring training. Go out there and, prove to people that, I belong.
You know, Hunter, I'm going to make the analogy here, and you can tell me I'm an idiot, or you can say, yeah, you're right on with this one. But in my lineup, I've got you starting in right field for this organization. And obviously, you were a third baseman. Your starting left fielder used to be a third baseman. How much do you talk to Alex Gordon about making that transition from third to the outfield and what you need to do to be successful?
Yeah, no, I ask him questions all the time. He was playing third, and then now he has 7 gold gloves, and, he's one of the best ever play outfield. So, I'm trying to pick his brain as much as I can, just kind of things that helped him transition to the outfield from moving to third. I'm watching him, trying to learn from him every day.
You say you ask a lot of questions to him. What are some of those questions that you asked to Alex Gordon?
Just what are some of the best things he did to prepare to play in the outfield when he first transition to the outfield? Kind of just those questions, just things that helped him kind of get to where he is today.
How much is Rusty helping you? Because I know he was a big influence for Alex when he made that transition. You mentioned working with Rusty right now. How valuable has that been for you?
Oh, it's been extremely valuable. I mean, Rusty's one of the best. He's helping me a lot right now, and he's going to continue to help, you know, all of us out there, you know, not only in outfield, but also base running. And so, yeah, we're really excited to have him back.
Is there more of an upbeat guy and a ray of sunshine that you've ever met than Rusty Koontz?
Oh, no, Rusty's the man.
Do you like him riding his bike around, honking the horn? Does that, like, scare everybody when he starts riding into camp and you hear this horn coming?
I think we're all used to it now. But, no, it's pretty funny. I remember, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, when he first got it. We're all kind of maybe a little shocked and stuff, but now it's hilarious. And, yeah, Rusty's awesome.
Does the horn mean get out of the way?
I think he just honks at the honk, honestly.
So he's still a kid, which is perfect because
we
would all do the same thing, is just honk at the honk it because, you know, it's there, right?
For sure.
Talking with Hunter Dozier here on 610 Sports Radio, and you mentioned pitching at the beginning. We're all excited about the young guns that are going to potentially be here, whether it's midseason this year or the beginning of next year. Singer, Kowar, Lynch, Bubich, those four guys seem to be the next wave of what's going to be great pitching talent here in Kansas City. From a hitter's perspective, what have you seen out of those guys, and why should fans be excited about them?
You know, I've been really impressed. This is the first time for me to really see them pitch, and I'm impressed. I mean, those guys, they're big league pitchers, and they're going to be in the big leagues at some point. So I know we're excited, and the fans should be excited too.
What makes them big league pitchers at this stage of their development, where they're in, what, year two or three of the minor league system?
Their stuff alone is, in my opinion, I mean, they're really close to being big league ready. They have to go out and prove it, but, I mean, it's, you know, watching from a distance or watching during a game, their stuff definitely will play in the big leagues, and it's exciting.
Since you've been through it as a high draft pick, that first time you're in camp with the big leaguers, what, take us back to when you were going through that similar thing. What is that like?
Yeah, it's a lot of nerves, and I remember I found myself watching a lot of, because I just wanted to watch, you know, the veterans on the team, you know, guys like Gordo, Haas, Moose, and, you know, just trying to learn as much as I can. But it's definitely, I was definitely nervous, and I didn't want to step on anyone's toes, and I was, you know, quiet and just kind of was watching, honestly. But it's a really good experience, and it was a lot of fun.
You know, for you last year, Hunter, it seemed like, you know, towards midseason, I don't want to say the game got easy for you, but you quietly had a really good year last year. If you weren't following the Royals around Major League Baseball, I mean, like, quietly, you were really, really good. Did the game all of a sudden just slow down? Did it become easier? Like, what do you attribute to all of a sudden having that switch flip for you?
Well, this game's never easy. But, I think I got the confidence that I knew I could play in the big leagues and I could really help this team win. And I think once I figured that out, the game kind of slowed down a little bit, and I think I stopped pressing. I just kind of relaxed. I didn't stress about an 0-for-4 game or maybe a couple games where I didn't get a hit. Because I knew I was good enough. I knew I was putting in the work. I wasn't really focused on the result. I was more focused on the process. Because for me, when I, you know, go out and try to do something good, or I worried about the result, that's when I start putting a lot of pressure on myself, and when I start underperforming. But when I can just really rely on and trust the process and the work I put in and my game plan, my approach, and whatever the results are going to be, they're going to be. And once I started doing that and really buying into that, that's when I started just being more relaxed up there, and my results were pretty good.
How did the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl motivate you guys?
I mean, just seeing how the fans were. I mean, I remember when I was watching the Royals in 2015. I mean, how the fans. I mean, we got a great, great fan support back in Kansas City, and it's. I mean, when you win in Kansas City, I feel like the whole city shuts down. Everything shuts down, and it's awesome to watch. And it was really cool to see the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
So what's the goal then for 2020 for you individually and for the team?
For the team, I mean, we're, you know, I'm not going to put a number on how many wins, but, you know, we're, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs and make a run. And then for me, just honestly do whatever I can to help this team win and help this team win every night. I don't really like to put, you know, stat goals for myself, but I just want to, you know, continue to get better and help the team win.
That's Royals outfielder Hunter Dozier. Why not us? Why not now? A little bit there, huh?
Yeah, I like it, man. I'm on board with that. I think a lot of people obviously are going to be sleeping on this ball club, and they're going to go out there and they're going to say, "Look, we're going to be good. We're going to contend. We're going to be a team that, you know, everybody's got to be worried about." And I think last year, as I told Hunter, you guys underachieved last year, and they know they underachieved last year. I think that's really cool that they can admit, "Yeah, we didn't do what we needed to do last year. We stunk last year." And that's good for them to admit, good for them to understand, and it's good for Mike Mathena to be in there and say, expectations are winning games now. We're no longer developing talent at the big league level. It's time to win games at the big league level.
69306. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. And plunk, plunk, plunk next.
Nobody plays better than the Royals.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
That left shoulder blade. That's obviously going to cause a stir.
There's a stir on a breaking ball that hits Brakeman.
Sports then on the call, because if any announcers involved around the Astros these days on radio or television, and probably the opponents as well, everybody be bending over backwards to say it wasn't intentional. But Alex Bregman plunked yesterday at spring training. It was
just got away from him.
A breaking ball that hit him in the back.
Well,
heard what the man said.
That's what it's going to be, though, this year going forward. The Astros now have been hit 7 times in 5 spring training games, okay? Coincidence? I think so, obviously. Breaking pitch, I think that's how they're disguising the purposeful pitches.
High sky, hard infield.
Yeah, like start to hit people. All the baseball excuses that are out there. Well, this is Florida.
There's a stir.
There's no high sky or anything in Florida. I mean, it's just wetlands down there.
Regular sky in Florida.
But I think what we are going to see right now are Astro broadcasters and Astros apologists talk about all the time, and they're going to fall all over themselves doing it. Well, that was a breaking pitch. I mean, you heard that gentleman right there right away. That's a breaking pitch. So what? A breaking pitch at 75 miles an hour in the small of the back or the shoulder blade or wherever it hits you, that's still going to hurt. That's still going to leave a mark.
That was a guy wearing
number
78 that was an A-ball pitcher. I get it, but still.
No, but that's the other thing. Those are the guys in spring training who are going to go out there and do this damage. It's going to be the guys who are wearing number 78, the guys who are wearing 89, the guys who are in the 90s that are going to be out there, that are going to be taking care.
The vets are wink, wink, nudge, nudging too.
That guy goes back to the clubhouse, right? That guy goes back to the clubhouse, and they bought him a roll of a dip for the year. I mean, like that guy's getting street cred right now by doing things like that. When you're a young kid in the business, no matter what business it is that you're in, and a veteran says, "Go do this," you go do this to try to gain that street cred. He gained a ton of street cred with his Cardinal teammates yesterday by doing that. And I don't have an issue with that. But I just don't want to hear the Astro apologists all year going, "Well, that wasn't intentional. That was a breaking pitch." No, they're all intentional. That was an intentional pitch, and all 7 of them have been intentional so far to hit the Houston Astros. Regardless if it looks intentional or not, they're throwing at these guys, and it's going to continue all year long. And that guy, man, that guy got a pat on the back, and they probably passed the hat. Not only did they give him a log of dip, they also probably passed the hat and collected a lot of money for that guy who's making nothing playing minor league baseball because he went out there and did that yesterday. That's a win for number 78.
Good job, 78. Alex Bregman appeared on the Pardon My Take podcast. And
not recently, though.
Yeah, this was him discussing his favorite unwritten rule.
I like all of them, honestly. I kind of like the way that the game has always policed itself. I think that if you do some stupid stuff on the field, either you or one of your teammates is going to get hit for how you were acting. And I kind of like that. I kind of like how that those rules.
Mm-hmm.
So that was him, pal.
That was him a while back saying he liked it. So
and he's laughing because he's thinking about nobody's ever going to catch us cheating.
He's got to know now. It's coming.
It is coming because that audio made its way around yesterday. Everybody's going to be talking about that this morning and saying Alex Bregman back a couple of years ago on that podcast. You said you liked when you like when baseball polices itself, and if you do something stupid on the field, you or your teammates are going to wear it. Well, welcome to reality,
stupid.
Man.
Welcome to stupid on the field.
Yeah. They always say there's a tweet for everything, right? Well, there's a soundbite for everything right there. And Alex Bregman has that perfect soundbite that now he needs to know. He's going to be wearing it. One of his teammates are going to be wearing it. And whether it's number 78 pitching in Port St. Lucie, Florida, or if it's number 32 pitching on the mound in Milwaukee, you better look out, man, because it's coming for you. They're coming for you.
Is it a tattoo? Jose! Is it a tattoo? Jose!
Number 16, Victor Robles.
Where's the tattoo, Jose?
Fans heckling. ESPN just showed
keep this going.
The Mets playing the Astros and Noah Syndergaard stalled. Everybody was ready to play, but right. It wasn't 10 after when they were scheduled to have the first pitch. So he just walked around the mound stalling so the fans could continue to boo George Springer.
That's perfect.
I mean,
yeah,
it's great.
It is awesome. It's fantastic. And when do they go to New York? When do the Astros play the Yankees this year? Because I can't wait for that. Boston can't do anything to the Astros this year because Boston, they're in the same boat. They're cheating people too. So you can't go out there
they're
and do anything.
People too.
Yeah. We're cheating people too, you know. Paul Revere was cheating people back in 1775. So Boston's been cheating for decades and centuries.
Write that down. Put those guys back so we can get those back
get
in the
those
system.
Guys
Ryan,
back
we
in there. We're cheating too, you know. So you can't give them the old Bronx cheer in Boston because you're part of the scandal. But in New York, when the Astros go to play the Yankees, that is going to be
they get the Mets April 7th and
in
8th.
New York, though. In New York, I don't care if it's there. It doesn't matter if it's there. But
I lied.
In Houston? Yeah, nobody cares about that. No, we're talking about going to New York. When they go to the Yankees or when they go to the Mets or when they go, to a place like that, their ass is going to get brutalized.
Let's shout it out. Ooh. Let's shout it out. 69306.
Oh, my God.
Smitty's Garage Burgers.
What are you laughing for?
And
it's
beer
true.
Text line.
They're gonna get torn apart.
Verbiage. That's why.
Just going to wreck it.
I'm sorry I jumped in the middle of that one, Ryan. You could have had it all.
September 21st, I believe, is the first time they got to go to New York.
So really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if it'd be we'll be booing by then.
I was... okay. All right. I'm an adult.
Verbiage.
Let's see. 913's saying make sure Bob stretches well today before the combine is going to pull another little groin.
Yeah, I didn't pull a little groin. I responded to that guy. It was my hammy last year. So
moon's over, maybe.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be okay.
First runner out of the gate. Pull the muscle.
Yeah, well, I understand from last year my biggest mistake was stopping as soon as I finished the 40 instead of just running through the finish line and gradually slowing up. Yeah, it's like the horses.
316 says, I sneezed so hard I about pooped my pants last night.
That's on you, man. You probably shouldn't sneeze when you've got a case of the goes.
I mean, I'm good for that twice a year.
Oh, really? I've never done that in my life. Be an adult.
When's the last time you sneezed and pooped yourself?
Yeah. When was the last time you sneezed and pooped your pants?
Less than 3 months.
Really? Okay.
I mean, it wasn't at work or anything.
Who's pitching today?
Yeah.
I'm more cautious.
Singer pitched yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute.
913 says, shout out. It's my birthday. Send me to the Westin.
You got
to
call Tammy up there at the Westin. Tammy now gets messages from listeners saying, this is so-and-so. Are you Tammy from the Westin?
Fesco told me to call.
Yeah. So if you want to stay at the Westin, just call Tammy at the Westin. Call the Westin and ask for Tammy. But she'll handle it. That way it's off my plate.
913 says, the old-fashioned sour cream is the ideal donut density galore.
The old-fashioned.
I think I understand what you mean. A thicker donut. Yeah, I'm all right on that one. Speaking of donuts, Dunkin's bringing out 610 donuts tomorrow to Daytona 500. They've got the 610 logo that they're putting on the donut tomorrow. I can't wait.
913 says, "What's the worst meat to recreate with a turkey base?"
What?
Bacon, turkey bacon, turkey salami.
Oh, I got you. I was thinking the au jus of the turkey.
I've tried both. Yeah, I wanted to. I like bacon. I wanted it to be.
Well, Duncan's got that new snack and bacon.
Oh, it's snack and bacon. Yeah.
Hey, what's the
turkey bacon's gross.
Yeah,
and turkey pepperoni's wretched.
Yeah, don't eat that stuff. Yeah. That is just processed meats with nitrates and salts.
816 says the law firm of Booed, Heckled, and Ridden-Hod.
It's funny. I like that.
Hod.
Hod. And we're working, do you know? We're cheating, do you know? Yeah, you all got your life lessons from Paul Revere screaming about the British cheating when they were coming.
816 says, my fiance is pregnant, found out yesterday.
Well, congratulations, man. Way to go. Did you have to move up the wedding? I had a friend that his fiance got pregnant. They got to move up the wedding. Like, we're getting married next week. We're like, what? Okay. Yeah, got pregnant. So I don't know if you're going to move up the wedding or anything like that, but congratulations, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, mazel tov. I'm very excited about that. Made the 180-mile round trip yesterday to get the wife's puppy. Totally worth it to see her smile. Husband points. By the way, someone said that, you know, if you're getting a dog for your wife, that's a pretty good trade. It made me laugh.
It's funny. Yeah,
it made me laugh.
Yeah.
The new KFC donut chicken sandwich. Your thoughts?
I have not had it. But, I mean, you're combining a donut and a fried chicken breast? How could it be bad?
Sounds like... Right.
I remember the first time like some minor league baseball team used like donuts as a bun for a hamburger and everybody lost their minds. Now it's just like common.
Well, like the chicken and waffle combo and stuff like that?
No. Like,
oh,
the,
like the donut?
You slice the donut in half and use it as a bun for your hamburger. Like a minor league baseball team. I want to say it was like the Gateway Grizzlies over in Illinois were the first like real person to do that. And everybody lost their minds. Oh, my God, donut buns. And now it's like you go to, like, every restaurant. They're like, yeah, I got a donut bun. So what?
Want to fight about it?
I got multiple donut buns.
We're donut bunning two. We're donut bunning two over here.
Yeah, you know.
913 says they need a life break. Five kids and four of them have the flu.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Call Tammy. A lot of sneezing and pooping their pants going on
Bob
there.
Just call Tammy. Call Tammy. Get you a room at the Westin. She'll hook you up. Jeez. Yeah. Charge you for it, but I mean, she'll take care of you.
Now suddenly Bob's like, who's to charge you for it?
Well, I'm not giving things away for nothing.
Sounded like
here.
You were for quite a while.
I'm driving business for her, right? Mm.
That it?
I mean, I guess. Looking through, but there's some I just can't read.
Probably the case. That's always a good time to...
People wondering if Dick Pound is back in the news today.
I have not heard anything, but I did hear Ben driving in talking about they're just going to cancel the Olympics. They're not even going to move it, and because of this worldwide epidemic...
I thought it reverted back to the host city prior or something like that.
Oh, no. I heard they're canceling it altogether. Yeah. I mean, the 60 people in America have coronavirus. It's becoming like the excuse for... I saw so many stories this morning about Anheuser-Busch, Coca-Cola, all blaming coronavirus right now for everything that's going on. So if it cancels the Olympics, I get it, man.
Millennials are so pleased. They finally have something else to take the blame.
Yeah. That's
great.
Yeah, it's because millennials are all the senior citizens now.
Dick Pound is abstained today from what we can tell. Okay. So if we find more Dick Pound, we'll pound it.
Has he even gotten up this morning? I mean, I don't know what time it is where he is. He's in Canada, right?
Well, if he's up,
you think he's an early riser?
If he's
riser?
Been up this long, he should call a doctor.
He probably should, yeah.
So is it the vocal yet powerful minority? We'll discuss next.
Their ass is going to get brutalized.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So we'll see. We still haven't been given a date yet. For NFL players to vote on the collective bargaining agreement, moving to 17 games.
What? Was this in the news?
Expanding the postseason. A little bit of the belief was, well, it passed the player reps, so now they'll send it to the players, and it's gonna pass. But we've had some vocal veteran players come out against this proposal, including Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Russell Wilson came out yesterday, and he said, why are we rushing to a decision that's going to affect us for the next 10 years? To which Eric Winston, the NFLPA president, clapped back at Russell Wilson yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. He said, I am sickened and disgusted by this tweet that you sent out there, and we are not gladiators. But he actually did clap back, and he said, nobody's rushing anything. We've been working 300 days on this thing. And that's the thing that I think a lot of players are failing to realize. This isn't something that just came together. It is something that has been worked on for a considerable amount of time. Now, I don't like this deal for the players because I still think they're getting screwed in all of this in the big picture. And anytime one side passes something as quickly as the owners did, you have to raise a red flag and go, why are they wanting to pass this thing so bad? Because it's a great deal for them. And then they've got Adam Schefter out there yesterday making stories up about how much money the players are getting versus other sports, which is a complete fallacy. And so now you've got player on player hatred going on right now. You've got a divided players association, and that's not good, but it's exactly what the owners want.
The owners are like when you think you have a play that's going to get overturned and you run to the line and quickly snap it.
That's exactly
that's what
right.
I felt like the owners were. Like
that's
they
a
were
good
like,
analogy.
They like, they like ran and like, quick, get it through. Let's go. Whereas maybe if they took a few days, maybe there'd be less skepticism from some of the guys. I don't know.
Sure. But if the owners sat on it for a while, yeah, I think there would be less skepticism by me because they walked in under 2 hours like, yep, this is good to go. Whoa, wait a second here. This is going to determine the next 10 years of the NFL. And in less than 2 hours of discussion with 32 billionaires in one room, that thing got passed. You can't get the NFL owners to agree on anything, whether it's replay rules or where the next Super Bowl is going to be. And they not a unanimous decision, obviously, but they came to a majority decision in under 2 hours that collective bargaining agreement was right. And for me, on the outside of that, looking at that, going, if you think this is such a fair deal in that quick a period of time, then it's not a fair deal for the players.
So we had some high-profile players come out against the CBA, and then we had a shirtless Maurkice Pouncey on Instagram in his vehicle recording of
When was the last time you drove shirtless? You asked me that earlier, and I thought it was like coming to work today, but no, yeah, it's not.
Maybe as a teenager.
I don't know that I've ever driven shirtless.
Maybe worked out or something and then threw the shirt off and drove, but no. Yeah. Never.
Never. Yeah, that's not a thing you do. But if you're Maurkice Pouncey, you're an athlete, go
closer
ahead.
Closer to never or teenager.
Right.
But certainly not. But hey, if you're yoked, go ahead and don't wear a shirt while you're driving. But anyway, he ranted via Instagram.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. That NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that they ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the fuck up. Stand up. Show these guys we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull deal just so these motherfuckers and the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't done.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So he's offered to pay the rent when we get this here lockout.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. We're not that far yet, are we, Maurkice?
Well, I think for certain players, we are to that standpoint. And I think for certain players, that's the only way it is going to benefit them. And, you know, look, I don't want a work stoppage. I think a work stoppage this day and age in any professional sport is a death nail for that professional sport. And I think if Major League Baseball thinks they're going to get into a work stoppage and everything's going to be okay after that work stoppage, they're living in the sand, man. They're living with their heads in the sand and their heads in the clouds, because a work stoppage in Major League Baseball, for all intents and purposes, in my mind, would probably kill Major League Baseball in America, because people have other things to do. And so I don't think a work stoppage is the right answer. I don't think missing games is the right answer for the players. I think that's a bad look. I think a work stoppage in the NFL will sit very poorly with a lot of people, you know, because there's a lot of people who watch the NFL, all of us probably that watch the NFL, that are living paycheck to paycheck, and we're not going to stand for millionaires and billionaires squabbling and fighting. But the deal does have to be better for the players. They're not adding extra money to the players. They're adding an extra game, and they're paying them for it. That's where the extra money is coming from. It's not extra, quote unquote, extra money. It's money commensurate with having an extra game added to the schedule. And so everybody sees this number. Oh, they're getting $5 billion of extra money. Yeah, because they're being asked to work an extra week. They're putting an extra week of work in, and that's why they're getting that extra money. If they were staying at 16 games, Josh, and the players were getting an extra $5 billion in revenue, oh, okay, then they are getting a raise. But when they ask you to work more and then pay you for it, you're not getting a raise. You're getting what you're owed for working those hours. It would be like you working a 10-hour day or whatever it was. And
ours will go to 11?
Right, and then you go to 11, and then they say, okay, well, pay you for that extra hour. We're giving you more money, but you're also asking me to work more. So this is a ruse that the owners are pulling on the players, and a lot of the players are looking at it and falling for it right now. But there is a big division between the haves and the have-nots in professional football, and I think the number is like 120 players are like extreme millionaires in the NFL, and the rest of the 2,000 players are just kind of in that middle ground where this deal is going to help them. So this deal is going to pass, but it's going to cause a lot of division amongst the players, and that's not a good thing either.
Aaron Rodgers had tweeted out his decision to vote no based off conversations he's had with men in his locker room, according to him, that I'm tasked to represent. He voted no. He says, he tweeted out, 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear the 17th game is about paying for the, quote, added benefits, and had nothing to do with the positive feedback received about any extra risks involved with the added regular season game, also the extra game for every 2 seed moving forward in the wild card weekend, i.e., Green Bay Packers 2019 equals no bye. There are also many issues raised about the workplace, the workload, and the offseason program. Some have been addressed, others have not. With an extra game added to the schedule, added risk, and longer stretches before and after the bye week, we felt it was important to address adding more offseason recovery time. The ideas discussed would not add costs for the teams. In fact, if anything, would lessen some of them. He says that he is speaking on behalf of the sentiment he's hearing from his teammates. So we'll see if he's got, I guess, the regular players coming to him and saying they don't like it either. Maybe this is going to linger on. I still think at the end of the day, they're going to get the majority they need to pass this thing whenever the vote indeed takes place. Coming up at 7, franchise tag day, but also big meeting day for the Chiefs specifically. Matt Nagy dropped by NFL Network yesterday, the Bears head coach, and discussed seeing Andy win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. Obviously, selfishly as a head coach, you want your team, the Bears, to be there and to win it, and that's where we're at. But when we were knocked out of the playoffs, to be able to see Coach Reed have an opportunity and finally make it to the Super Bowl and then win it, I was able to stay at home and watch the Super Bowl by myself with my family and just take it all in and understand the excitement, the enjoyment, how happy all those guys were. And then to see Coach with that confetti coming down, that smile never left his face. No one deserves it more than him. The hours he puts in, the commitment he has to his players and coaches, and you felt it from everybody. He's a lovable guy. And there's no better story in the NFL than that this year. And it was so good to see him a couple nights ago, get dinner with him, and just hear about all the stories because he's the absolute best.
Oh, got goosebumps thinking about that.
Peter Schreger, Chiefs honk.
Oh, got goosebumps.
He's like,
ooh,
I wish I was at dinner with you guys.
Yeah. Is that what you think? You got goosebumps over thinking about dinner with Nagy?
Yes, absolutely. Because you know who's picking up the tab on that one? Is it Andy Reid, Super Bowl winning coach, or is it his protege, Bears head coach Matt Nagy?
Well, I mean, I figure if they're going to let Schreger's tab along, like
no, I'm talking about just between Nagy and
Nagy's got to pick up the
Nagy
tab.
Picks up the tab. What if Veach is at that meal as well?
He might do it.
Or you know who actually picks up the tab? Nagy brings the general manager who drafted Trubisky, and they say, you get to pick up the tab because you passed on Mahomes, so you get to pick up the tab here because you drafted Trubisky ahead of time and let us have.
Feels like you owe him
Patrick Mahomes. No, you don't owe him anything. You know, no, absolutely not. No, you embarrass him. That's where you took Trubisky, you get the bill. Everybody laughs at the table, right? But it's just continual joy from everybody about Andy Reid. Like, everybody that you talk to about Andy Reid is just so happy for him. I've never seen anything like this, Josh, in professional sports in my life. I've never seen everybody so united and happy for the person who won the Super Bowl or the World Series or a championship, like everybody in the league is for Andy Reid. You know, like, nobody's happy for Bill Belichick when he wins it. Nobody's happy for Tom Coughlin.
I feel like when Phil Mickelson won a major, it was kind of like that. Like, he was the longest and the best golfer never to win a major. And
but
like,
not
as soon as he won,
sport.
Everybody, I know, but everybody was like, oh, that was good for Phil. Yay.
Right.
Phil got a major. And then it became, well, we don't like Phil.
Yeah, we didn't like Phil soon after that.
No, there was that, like, you couldn't really, like, Nagy's situation, right?
Right.
He's like, well, I couldn't really get there until my team was out.
Right.
And then once everybody's teams got out, they're like, we heard it Super Bowl week. Like, everybody was rooting for Andy.
Rooting for Andy, yeah.
And then everybody was happy for Andy when they ultimately won it. I was happy. I was happy for Andy. I mean, I had a weird reaction. I felt like I had a weird reaction to it, too.
I was like ranking your happiness. I was like, happy for Chiefs fans. I was happy for Andy.
Yeah,
and then
for
everybody
sure.
else like kind of fell into the pecking order after that.
Yeah,
right?
I was like I said, I'm like, I've been a Chiefs fan all my life, and I was pretty happy for Andy. Yeah. Like, bizarrely, like, rooting for Andy to get it done. So I think that was the sentiment around the league.
And I think also, too, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I've ever seen anybody that was more universally liked. Like, you've never heard anybody in the industry say a bad thing about Andy Reid. And that's tough to do when you're a head football coach or a head basketball coach or a there is nobody out there that has a bad thing to say about Andy Reid. And that tells you the type of person he is and the type of impact that he's had on so many people, that every single person has something great to say about Andy Reid. That's the type of human being he is. And that's why everybody was rooting for the guy.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Your chance to win 7 o'clock hour prize. How about $25 to Diametric Brewing? Just for listening. Ryan always makes it simple for someone to win.
I do like to keep it easy on everyone. Just listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
That would be a problem.
All right.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Next time you hear that, be caller number.
I'm going to do it again for the guys on the stream so they get an opportunity to dial in. I am going to go with caller number 38 today.
Ooh, caller 38.
Yes. So like islands in the stream.
That is what we are.
Nowhere in between. No one in between?
Nowhere in between. How can we be wrong?
How could we be far? I thought.
No, how can we be wrong? I think is where it is. Two against one right now. Sail away with me.
Okay.
To another world.
Next time you hear that drop, though, be caller number 38 to 913-576-7610. The next time you hear that drop, caller 38 will walk away with $25 to Diametric Brewing.
Islands in the stream. That is what we are. How could you have an island in the stream, though? Like, it's too small to have an island.
You have, like, a sandbar.
Yeah, more of a sandbar. Sandbar in the
stream.
Doesn't
flow quite as well.
Doesn't work as well, no.
Changed the lyrics. It was originally going
to be. Gotta love Linda Ronstadt and Kenny Rogers.
Going to be sandbar.
I thought that was Dolly. Was that Linda?
It is the franchise tag window opens today.
Today's the day. Yeah.
Now through March the 12th, teams can decide to tag players with that one-year tender.
Do you think people are hitting refresh and seeing if Chris Jones has been tagged and freaking out that he's not been tagged yet?
Might have done it a time or two on Twitter this morning. The Chiefs could use that option on Chris Jones if the two sides cannot agree on a long-term deal. But GM Brett Veach says they were slated to meet with Jones's representatives again today. So
I don't know about again today. I think this is like the first real sit-down meeting that they've had.
Well, I mean, they've been
guys.
Conversing the whole time. Yeah. They're meeting at the Combine today. Whatever. Yeah. But he said a couple days ago they were going to meet this week, and today believed to be the day, and it just coincides with tag day. Now, they could take their time a little bit on this. I'm sure there's some teams that have probably decided whether or not they're going to do it with their particular
player.
When's
the deadline?
Through the 12th, March.
March 12th. Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's like almost, you know.
2 weeks.
Like 2 weeks. So they have some time to get it done. You don't have to go, bam, right?
Why haven't the Chiefs tag Chris Jones?
Because they're going to talk right up until the deadline, probably. Yeah. So, but today officially opens it. There was some talk when they thought maybe the new CBA would go through. They would back it up a couple of days.
They did. They were supposed to be
it
Tuesday.
Was supposed to be the 25th, and then it became the 27th. And so so here we are. Today's the day that teams can officially get that done. So a big week ahead with the sit-down meetings with Veach and Jones's people. And Veach was asked if Chris Jones is priority number one.
You know, when you do something that hadn't been done in a franchise for 50 years, that win a Super Bowl, you realize that you had a talented team.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get Frank Clark and Chris Jones, you know, on that defensive line to go with Pat Mahomes on the offensive side, there's no better place to start. There'll be some difficulties and some challenges for us and, you know, to manipulate everything, but it's certainly something that we want to get done, and we're going to work to see if we can make it happen.
Veach on Pro Football Talk.
I love it. They have to manipulate some things here.
That he's talked a lot about, you know, the tandem.
Yeah,
he's
really
like, so he's, I think, Ryan, you might have said it the other day. You're like, it really does sound like in his heart of hearts, he really, really, really wants to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's continued to kind of emphasize that. Like, hey, wouldn't it be great? I mean, who wouldn't want to have Jones and Clark together? So,
correct.
I mean, they definitely.
He said at the time they signed Frank Clark, he's like, I can't wait to see him and Chris Jones opposite each other for years to come.
Well, and he's been talking about it. I think when Brett Veach talks like that, and this is just me kind of, you know, looking at it, I think when he talks like that, that's like Chris Jones talking about, I want to be a Chief for life. You know, that's the organization's kind of counter to Chris Jones saying, I want to be in Kansas City forever. The organization saying, well, I can't wait to see Frank Clark and Chris Jones
together forever. Oh, that'd
yeah,
be great.
It's part of the game. It's part of the media game. It's part of the
I feel like that helps you as an organization, though, because then that puts you in, like, it paints you in a corner. Like, you have to, at this point, try to bring this guy back. Like, what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, they're going to try. Yeah, sure.
Right, but I think, like, outside of that, like, it puts more pressure on you to bring him back. When you say, I want to see this guy for years to come in Kansas City, you know, that puts the pressure on you now to get this guy to sign the deal. Like, what are you going to do? Play the other side of the card and be like, well, he didn't want to sign
here?
That's
exactly right. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly what you do. If you
don't feel like you hear teams say that a lot.
Well, I mean, you're not – but. How many times do teams comment after a guy leaves in free agency? Like, that's fair. You know, like I would love to see one of those, like, you know, ticked off press conferences where the guy walks and goes, we did everything we can to keep this guy here. We wanted him to be here and he didn't want to be here, and then storm out. Like, that would be like the,
I just,
the
I do wonder though, if there's going to be a portion of fans that if Chris Jones does not resign in Kansas City, if they go, well, Brett Veach didn't do enough to try to keep him here.
I mean, of course there's going to be fans saying that.
For years that you wanted to keep him here, and now all of a sudden you let him walk. You didn't do enough to keep him here.
Well, but that's the organization saying, look, we want to keep him here. We're going to do everything we can to keep him here, but, you know, ultimately if we can't, then they're putting the onus on him, just as Chris Jones is putting the onus on the organization. But again, look, if he doesn't stay here, so what?
That would be a problem.
No, it wouldn't be, because the New England Patriots have made a living out of doing that, and if you want to be that successful Patriot type of dynasty in the NFL, and I don't know if a 20-year dynasty is possible anymore in this league, but if you want to be a dynasty in the NFL, you can't get invested in contracts that prevent you in future years from doing things that you need to do to continue to maintain your success. And that's where the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, are headed. They're headed down that New England route. They're headed down the path of becoming a dynasty. But if you get involved with too many heavy contracts, then you know what? You're not going to be able to put that dynasty together, because you're not going to be able to manipulate the cap enough to get you what you need. And that's why the New England Patriots have been so successful. Yes, Tom and Bill have been there, but their personnel decisions have been remarkable. They have let guys go. They have let guys move on, and they haven't missed a beat. And that's my vision. And I know that's Brett's plan for the Kansas City Chiefs as an organization. We've got the coach. We've got the quarterback. Everything else, you know, we'll take our swings at, we'll take our chances with. We're not going to get into bad contracts, and they're not. And if Chris Jones ends up being a bad contract for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they look at it and they go, this is a bad deal for us, we're not going to get involved in it because we've been there before, then that's what they're going to do. They're not going to have an Eric Berry or a Justin Houston or a Tom Bahali type of situation where you're ruining the day you sign those guys. It's just not going to happen at Arrowhead anymore.
Veach was asked by Pro Football Talk if there's a timetable for Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know if there's a timetable. We have time. And he's not, listen, he's going to be a Chiefs quarterback for a long, long time. Certainly with the CBA, looks like it's going to get worked out. And, you know, there'll be some dialogue there that we'll have to work through. And then just really just trying to, and I think the cool thing about Pat and his agent is they realize that, you know, he's going to make a lot of money. But they also realize that, you know, listen, no one operates in the sense of taking the extreme team discount. But Pat is also very cognizant of wanting to be in a place like Kansas City and win a lot of Super Bowls. Right. And there are some things to help the team, to make sure that there's always talent around him. So it'll take time. Yeah. It'll get done.
Right.
But he's one of those kids. He's a special kid, and his agent, they want to make sure he's surrounded with a bunch of talent too, because I mean he's chasing rings, and that's a good thing and a good situation for us to be in too.
Yeah, we argue about this a lot. I mean I'm always like, ultimately if he makes $42 million a year, if he takes 38, it's not going to make
a difference.
It's still
$4 million a year.
I know, but it is a lot. I get it. I'm not trying to disrespect it.
Right, but he thrives on winning.
Yes.
And there's also an element of just real, and you know, obviously the more money a team has, the more talent they can surround, and it'll be one of those things that it'll get done. It'll take time, like they all do, but at a certain time and point, it'll make sense for us, it'll make sense for them, and everybody will be happy.
There's Brett Veach on Pro Football Talk, not using the word necessarily hometown discount, but that they are willing to work with the Chiefs, which is he mentions is great to hear. You know, if it's aging, it goes, I'll get you a $4 million endorsement. Let's.
Chris said, like, what's the difference between 38 and 42? Ultimately, it's only $4 million.
But there's also no cap on how many endorsements you can do.
Oh, God, no. You can go out there and endorse everything under the sun.
There's no cap on how many commercials you can do as a player. So if you maximize that, you can you can make up those dollars. And if you're not ego driven, like I have to be the highest paid,
right?
There are ways for them to make up the money if they really want to.
I mean, one of the easiest ways for him to make up that money is calling Golden Oak and refinancing and having more cash at his disposal than paying in a mortgage. And you can do that, and you've got a raise right there, and the Chiefs don't have to do it, and you don't have to worry about anything. It just it's as simple as that. With 2.75% interest rates, it's easy to do with Golden Oak Lending. So that's what I would suggest to Patrick Mahomes. Go out there and do something like that and refinance your crib, man, and then you've got more money in your pocket and more cash coming in and less cash going out. So to me, that's a very easy way for him to go ahead and do something like that. And I think ultimately, by them waiting on this contract, which I think they're going to do, and I ultimately think they're going to wait a year on this contract. That's my feeling right now, my gut feeling right now. By not signing this year, this is that quote-unquote hometown discount. I think by not signing a $40 million contract that takes effect this season and waiting till next year when they really have to do it, I think ultimately that becomes your hometown discount.
So you just do like Bob does, just work it into your every conversation. There you go, Pat. Brian and KC, your winner this hour. He gets $25 at Diametric Brewing just for listening. It was our 7 o'clock hour prize. Guess what? Coming up at 8 o'clock.
What do we got?
A pair of tickets to see Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett at Kauffman Stadium. Your chance to win that coming up at 8 o'clock. So we just keep giving you fun stuff. Fun stuff and fun stuff. Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, drops by for his weekly visit. We'll talk Combine, Beanball, and a very old television reference next.
There's a stir.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.